Well, we've been talking last week about developing our faith or destroying our faith. And I like this picture when I was kind of looking over different pictures to put in the PowerPoint this week, because it really pictures to me what a lot of the world wants to teach about faith. You know, a lot of times the world wants to look at faith as something that we're going to have in our own abilities, confidence in ourselves to be able to do things, to develop the ability to be superior or better than not just our circumstances, but really to stand out in the crowd. And people want to be able to walk like this on that tightrope and do things that people will look up and say, man, I cannot believe that they're able to do that, and believe in themselves. But we're told that we're supposed to, in the Bible, not believe in ourselves and our own abilities, or even want to develop our abilities so that we can conquer the world. But we are in the world to allow God's kingdom to conquer with eternal things, those things that we see are temporal. And we are here to have faith in God, to have faith in God's love for us, which we clearly see through Christ and through his sacrifice for us on the cross, to be able to believe that if he is risen from the dead, that he can do anything, that he is always with us, that he has a plan that goes beyond what we could comprehend. Who could have comprehended that Jesus' death on the cross was going to bring about the salvation of many? Who would have thought that we would be here today worshiping Christ because of that sacrifice? But God is all wise and God is all powerful. And the words that we speak to ourselves, picking up from where we were last week, either build or destroy our faith. The battleground of what God is doing in your life is not outside of you. It's inside of you. The battleground of what God is doing and wants to do in your life is in your mind. Whether or not you are going to dwell in God's words, and you are going to believe and cling to God's words, and you are going to follow him, and you are going to test God's word. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to test God, not to test God in the sense of testing him to see how long his patience will hold up with us refusing to do his will. That's not the type of test it's talking about. It's telling us that we are supposed to prove or to test, put to test, those things that he tells us. We can't see if his promises are true until we what? Until we obey them. We can't see that his word will be faithful in our lives unless we obey it. And so our lives put to test or prove that God is faithful. But we have to hear him. We have to agree with him. We have to follow him. I love the song that we just sang. Think about those words that we sung. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in. And you know the imagery of this song. It's talking about when the disciples were caught in the storm. You remember there was a story before this. There was a time when Jesus went with them in the boat. And most of us would say, I would just like to have enough faith to be asleep in a boat like Jesus was. How many of you would like to have the kind of faith that when everything seems to be falling apart in this world, you can rest in the assurance that God is with you and this is all part of his plan and you can sleep like a baby? That's the kind of faith I want. I also want the kind of faith that Peter had, that even though he was shaken by the circumstances because they were frightening, when he finally saw Jesus and recognized who he was, he said, can I get out of the boat and walk on the water too? Can I not just be afraid and be protected from these things, but can I get up out of this boat and can I use these horrible circumstances of this storm and these crashing waves, can I use that as a bridge to walk over to show the glory of God and the greatness of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God? Can I show like you are that God is above all these circumstances? How many of you want that kind of faith? That's the kind of faith I want. That's the kind of faith that we just got done singing about. But the waves are calling out my name. and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. Well, you know, the waves really aren't calling out our name. Now, sometimes people in opposition to us do say those words. But it's talking about the conversation that's going on inside of his head. He takes a look and he sees these circumstances and he starts to remember and he starts to think about and he starts in his mind to have this conversation about what happened last time these type of events occurred and whether or not it's going to work out and all of these things happen. But those circumstances or those people, they are calling out to us, aren't they? They're saying, join me in a conversation, not about faith, not about who God is and what God can do, but join me in a conversation about how incredibly difficult the situation you are is. Join me in a conversation about how little hope there really is. Join me in a conversation about how few your resources are and how weak you are compared to what you're facing. Join me in a conversation about how you don't have the ability to overcome this. Because we can all join that conversation because we don't. And we all get into situations where we are reminded of how we failed before. And if we don't have God intervening in our lives, we don't want to be David facing Goliath without the Spirit of the Lord with us. If I'm throwing a little stone at a trained warrior, I want God guiding that stone. I don't want to get out there and face him on my own. But here's what those voices want. Here's what the devil wants you to do. God wants you to meditate and to think about things that are pleasing and acceptable to him, to build your faith so you can walk with him. But you know what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to be afraid, to cover up, to isolate, to be paralyzed. He wants you to sit back in that lounge chair and take yourself off the field, afraid of what is going to happen, and hunker down and just hope you make it through. And some of us talk ourselves into that. I know I've talked myself into it before. But that's never where we want to be, and it's not where God wants to work. The waves keep telling me on, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never what? You'll never win. Boy, you'll never win. Now, God tells us that we are conquerors in Christ, that we can overcome this world, not just whatever little circumstances we have. It tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, that we are going to be victorious, and that we are going to, if we follow him, receive a crown of life, which means that we have overcome life. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. It says, do not be afraid. Now, I know I'm not the only one in this world who's been afraid, or in this room. I know I'm not the only one who has heard someone say, don't be afraid, but I was so consumed with thinking about the things that were happening in my life that I was overcome with fear. And I didn't do things that now, as I look back, I wish I would have done. But that voice of truth God is telling us says, look, don't be afraid. It says, all this is for my what? How easy is it to forget that God created me a masterpiece? That he put me in this earth and he knows me and he has a plan for my life and a purpose for my life. And that he is going to do something in my life that reflects how great he is. How easy it is for me to forget that at times. That God is in every circumstance working. I like this picture too. I put it down there because this is how I want to be. This is how I have experienced moments in my life just as you have, where that fear and those doubts and all of the worries start to come in and you turn and you listen to God and you listen to his word and you converse with him and you let his words move in your heart and all of a sudden you feel that peace and that calm and that strength and you can pull behind all the temporal things and you can see the eternal glory that God is working. and Christ shines in our light. Out of the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe, which means cling to. It doesn't mean mentally assent to. It means I'm going to cling to it. That's why Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Some translations say, dwell. If we will cling to that and we will live there and we will not let go of God's promises, then that voice of truth can do some powerful things in our lives, can't it? And what it produces in our lives is faith. And we left off here last week with faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we talked about how that word, it isn't just that we read the word and God said it and that's how it is. It has to do with what God says to me as an individual. Christ died so he could have a relationship with me. He died so he could have a relationship with you. He didn't die so that you could be a better person. He didn't die so that you could be a stronger person. He didn't die so that he could use you to achieve some type of purpose in the world. He doesn't want just your obedience. He takes it for granted that if he has your heart, he will have your obedience. But he wants your heart. He wants a relationship with you. There is no relationship without a conversation. There is no relationship when we don't communicate to one another. I don't have a relationship with you if you're here and you hear me, but we never talk. To have a relationship, we interact. And faith comes by hearing that word of God. And the Bible tells us that it is impossible to please God without what? Without faith. In other words, can I please God by attending church? No. Can I please God by being a better person? No. Can I please God by recognizing that I am doing something that is wrong, we'd call a sin, and repenting of that sin and having the willpower not to do it again? No. Can I please God by reading my Bible? Well, it depends on how I'm reading it, doesn't it? Many times people read their Bible as a routine and a checkoff. It's a religious duty. Can I please God from a religious duty? No. You know how I can please God? One way. By having faith in him. In other words, I listened to him. I heard him. I saw who he was. I could not believe how great and wonderful he was. I see how he loves me, and I love him back. And so I want to please him. And I may not be able to do it very well. I may make mistakes. I may not have the wisdom or the spiritual maturity to be able to do what he wants me to do at this moment. Do you know what? That's not what pleases God. What pleases God is that I believe that he loves me and he will take me there and I'm going to cling to him and I'm going to trust him to work out all my imperfections and weaknesses. He wants my heart. Nothing will please God outside of my heart. He wants a relationship with me. And I can't have that if I don't hear the words of God. And that's not reading it on a piece of paper. That's not doing my morning devotion so I check it off and I did my religious duty. He wants me to hear his voice. And when I have an encounter with God, I walk away with faith. That's why 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this. People who aren't spiritual can't receive the truths from God's Spirit. I want to read that again. People who aren't spiritual can't receive the truths from God's Spirit. There are lots of people that have studied God's Word, that read God's Word, that are disciplined to know God's Word, and they got their theology down. But it doesn't have a transforming effect on who they are. When they read God's word, But it doesn't shake them to be in the presence of God. They don't see his greatness and realize that they are far from where he wants them to be. And so they want him to help them change to become all that he wants them to be, because they want to be closer and closer to him. Because they love him. And they see him. That's why people can be experts in the Bible and they're not gentle. It's interesting how the Bible tells us that we're supposed to communicate gently with people. We're supposed to be gentle with people. Jesus says, come learn of me, for I am what? I am gentle. Because when you have an encounter with God, it changes how you feel. It changes how you see things. It changes who you are. And true wisdom from God is peaceable. It's loving. It has the character traits of Christ. And that is what God wants us to do. People who aren't spiritual can't receive those things. They can receive knowledge, but they can't receive the divine nature that 2 Peter tells us that the knowledge of God brings. Because that is what God wants for us. He wants to know us. He wants us to know him. It all sounds foolish to them and they can't understand it. Why? Because they're looking for a way to manage their lives in this world. They want things to work out better. So they collect knowledge from God because they understand enough to know that he understands people and the universe better than they do. And he understands that we are going to reap what we sow. And so if I can get some information and learn how to sow some things a little bit more in a godly way, I'm going to reap some of those benefits of obeying God. But that is not what God wants from us. He does not want us to become students of how to have a better or a more blessed life. He wants us to know who he is. And that changes who we are. And it's for a totally different motivation. It's not all about me and my family and how I can navigate and make things well. It's all about who he is, and as I see him, I fall to my knees. Nothing matters. I come to that place where I do understand what Jesus says when he says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not what? Worthy of me. He's not saying don't love your family. What he's saying is that when you come in contact with me, you're going to realize that I am so much more greater than you are, that nothing matters and nothing will come between me and you. And you realize that I will work on add all those things to you when you're connected with me. But it can never be right without our relationship. And you cling to me because you believe me, you understand, you see, you know. That you will never manipulate, you will never manage, and you will never pull your life together. Because you can only see the temporal. But the important things are the spiritual, the eternal. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the spirit means. That means if I have my mind and my will, but my spirit is not connected with God, you can't get it. But when you're connected with God, he works through your mind and through your will to bring you and transform you into what God wants you to be. But it all comes from our hearts. That's why Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Man, I have struggled in my life with trusting in the Lord with all my heart, because I have trusted in a lot of different things in addition to the Lord in my life. How about you? I have trusted in a good friend who would help me get a job. I have trusted in a boss that was going to make the right decisions so the company went well. I have trusted in a friend who would stick up for me. I have trusted in all kinds of things, and my mind has been in all kinds of different places, and not that any of those things are bad. But when my attention comes off of God and his will and trusting him and it goes down onto people, how many of you have been like me, you've been disappointed? Because they can't come through. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. How I wish when I was younger that I would have learned that God does not want me to figure out and try to manage my circumstances. Because I would lean on my own understanding of what's happening here, what this person is doing, what that person is thinking, how that's going to affect this and that. How can I arrange this stuff so it's all going to work out? How can I keep it smooth? When God tells me this, all I need to really keep in my mind is this. How can I live in a way that honors you? How can I treat people in a way that you're going to smile when I do it? How can I say something or respond in a circumstance that you're going to look down, pat me on the back, and say, that's my boy? How can my character be in line with one that you're pleased with? When I'm worried about that, everything else is going to work itself out. And I'm not afraid to speak the truth in love. I'm telling you, when I'm trying to manage things, there's a lot of truth I didn't speak when it needed to be heard. Some of you have been in situations where you knew something needed to be said, but you had worked out in your mind what all the consequences would be, so you kept your mouth what? You kept it shut. And God couldn't work because you didn't have the faith to follow him and in love speak and trust that your attitude would give weight to the words. And if I'm going to be honest, sometimes my attitude wasn't there to give weight to my words. Because I wasn't thinking about God and what he wanted for my life first. I was worried about other things and my character showed it. And so it was difficult for me to speak that way. And what God wants to do is he wants to change us away. Seek his will in all you do. Don't worry about your will. Don't worry about your kingdom. Don't worry about how things are going to work together. You worry about what God is doing eternally in your heart and through you to bring others to him, to spread his love and his hope and his faith through this world. You worry about what God's will for you in the situation is, and guess what he'll show you? He'll show you the path. Lots of times in my life when I was younger, I didn't understand that, and I struggled to find the path. I couldn't ever find the path. And I knew the verse, I had it memorized, but how many of you know that the Bible says that a double-minded man, somebody who's relying on God, relying on their wisdom, relying on God, relying on somebody else, relying on God, relying on their circumstances, he should expect what from the Lord? Nothing. Nothing. Why? Because God knows we won't let go of those things as long as we're getting something from them. So the eternal things that we all seek are withheld from us unless our hearts are his. There seems a way right to a man, but in the end it leads to what? Sorry, I think in King James. That's how I memorized it. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. That is a perfect verse to encapsulate the human mind. God says, look, I'm thinking way up here where the heavens are. You're thinking way down here where the earth is. From my perspective, I look down here and I see the earth. How many of you have been in a condo on the beach? And you look down and you say, man alive, there's no waves at all. And then you go down there, and depending on how the wind's blowing, you notice that those waves are bigger and bigger, right? If you're sitting in the sand where they break, they can feel pretty big. If you get up above and you look from God's perspective, they're not all that big. And there seems a way that's right to a man. We try to figure out what the right thing is. We've got good intentions. That's not what God is looking at. We can't please God because we have good intentions. We please God because we have faith in him and we put him first. And I have done a lot of brilliant planning in my life. And I've come up with some ingenious schemes to make things work. And yet, in the end, they didn't bring me closer to God and closer to where God wanted to be. Sometimes they achieved my goal. Sometimes I got what I wanted. You remember that verse that the Bible says to the Israelites when they're there? God gave them what they wanted but sent leanness to their what? To their souls. I've experienced that. there seems a way that's right to a man, but in the end, it doesn't bring us closer to God or closer to where he wants us to be. It separates us. It brings death. I love this verse in Hebrews 4:2. It says, "For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did," speaking of those back in earlier days. "But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith." Or some of you probably have a translation that says, "It wasn't mixed with faith." So in other words, I can read the word of God. I can hear you say the word of God. I can even say it over to myself, but if I don't mix it with faith, it's not going to achieve its purpose. I'm not going to get where God wants me to be. We have put the hope, our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. You know, I was thinking this morning about our trip to Uganda. We were talking about it a little earlier. And it was really interesting because when we went there to do the crusades, now here, you've got a ton of money that's been raised to buy medicine. You've got doctors and nurses that are coming over there. It is available for everyone. There's no requirements. There's no payment. There's nothing there. And Mukumbi would tell us when we get there, he says, "Okay, now the first day, we're not going to have that many people. We're not going to have as many people because they won't believe that it's really true. They're going to think that there's some kind of catch and we're going to get there and we're going to try to trick them into something or get money from them, or there won't really be anybody there to do medical care." So the first day of the two-day medical clinic, you're not going to have that many people who are going to come until the people come back and they tell their neighbors and say, "Yeah, I went there. They didn't charge me anything." And the next day, you're going to have this flood of people. Well, sure enough, that is what happened, didn't it, Mark? And we had one where we went to this area the first time we went over there, and we could have seen everybody. But some of those people, even though they knew there was free medical care and they needed it, they didn't go because they didn't believe that they were going to get it. And then they showed up the next day and there was such a big crowd that we couldn't get everyone there. So was medical care available and provided for everyone? Yes, it was paid for. Just like Christ paid for us to be able to have our sins forgiven and to be able to connect with the God of the universe. But it's especially good for those who showed up. Just like salvation, even though Jesus Christ paid for your sins on the cross, that you might have a relationship with God and you might be able to see how much God loves you so that you can have faith in him. If you don't come to him, it really has no effect. So we put our hope in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. Christ died to save everyone, but only those who come to him will find salvation. Proverbs 28:26 says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a what? Is a fool." I know we got some smart people out there. We got some people out here smarter than I am. And I know we've got some people out here who can manipulate life better than I am. But if we trade those eternal things, if we trade a rich relationship with God for success in this world, we are foolish. James 1:21 says this, "So get rid of all filth and evil in our lives." Now let me tell you something. If we were honest and everyone knew everything that was rolling around in our minds, if you could hear everything that was going on and being said by everyone who's around you, you might be shocked at times. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you are glad everyone else in this room can't hear every thought that you mull around? There's things that are not pleasing to God that mull around in our hearts. Sometimes the way we even feel about or what we think we want to say as we ramp up that rage and anger at people that we should be loving. He says, "Get rid of all that filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept." That means that we realize our position before God, and in worship we bow before him And we listen with the idea that these words are words of gold that we have to have in order to be successful. And that we will apply and follow what he says. Humbly accept the word of God that is planted in your hearts. I want you to get that part too. Having it in our minds is not the same as having it in our hearts. It's not the same that I can answer the question. So if we have a sword drill or a Bible quiz, or we are in a small group and someone brings up theology, I've got the right answer. What it's talking about is it becomes part, some of these translations say engrafted word. In other words, it becomes immersed and mixed and a part of who I am, how I think, how I react. That word of God has the power to come into my heart and come alive and make God alive, make my relationship with God alive. And as I respond to him, it changes and I become not a person who knows about God but spiritually is dead to a person who has a living, vibrant relationship with God, and he is working and speaking and leading me and my life is centered upon him. It's planted in my heart and it grows. And it's got the power to what? It's got the power to save my soul. That means it's got the power to take me from a person who is separated from God and who is lost and is wandering in the darkness. And not to just have me mentally agree with a statement and think, okay, now I can stay right here and not be changed and be the same person I am. But since I acknowledge this truth, somehow God's going to overlook the fact that I am still in rebellion to him, still ignoring him, still not following him. But I'm going to pay him a little homage and come to church on Sunday or whatever, and that's okay. But to have the ability for him to take it and change my life, and the longer I live and the longer I walk with him and the longer I worship him, the more clearly I see him, the more I love him, and the more I look at my life and realize I am being changed into the image of Christ. I want what he wants. I desire what he wants. I'm starting to say the kind of things he would say. I'm starting to react in the ways that I know are pleasing with God. I'm not angry at people anymore. I'm compassionate towards them. I'm not looking at what I can get out of a situation for them. I'm looking at what God can do in their life. It's got the power to save me, to change me, so that I am not a prisoner of my own sin. I'm going to end with this. We looked at the other day about how what we say in our minds is going to determine what our faith is. What kind of conversation are you having? Does it include God? Does it include God's word? Or is it simply self-talk? It's just your own understanding, mulling over your perspective and what you think you can do to gain your advantage in your mind. Our thoughts are going to lead to emotions. And eventually, we don't have the ability to manage life, and those emotions are going to turn negative. And we will become, as we get older, bitter, resentful, angry, depressed, hopeless. Negative emotions. And because we feel that way, we're going to talk and we're going to act in a way that reflects who we are. If I'm angry, I may can control myself for a while, but eventually, it's coming out. If I'm depressed and hopeless, I am going to be a negative person to be around. And those behaviors will have outcomes. And those outcomes will reinforce to me my thoughts. Because what I do, the Bible tells us, emotions and circumstances will follow from it, right? And so if I want to get into a fleshly, into a human nature type of cycle of thinking, that's what's going to happen. And you notice I changed that word from outcomes to reaping, because that's really what it is. God says where we sow, we're going to reap. If we reap to the flesh, we're going to sow destruction. If we reap to the Spirit, we will sow life everlasting. And if we let that cycle go and we let our human nature take, we are going to have weaker faith. Because our experience will tell us what? God could not come through. And so I mentally assent that God can do it, but I don't dwell on that. I dwell on the circumstances, and I get upset, and then my actions and my speech have outcomes where God couldn't work because I was separated from what he wanted to do. And so my circumstances tell me, well, see, he couldn't come through. And so my faith gets weaker and weaker, and I become more and more dependent upon myself and my own ingenuity than I do God. And that is not what God wants for us. He wants us to have stronger faith, because when we start thinking, he wants us to include his word, and he wants us to dwell on that word, to converse with him and let his spirit make that word come alive. So I'm not really just reading the words anymore, but I feel like God is speaking to me through those words. And in my heart, I feel like, okay, I know God wants me to do this. And so I do it, or I say it. And because I did that behavior, I reap eternal, everlasting blessings from the Lord. And my faith is stronger. And so I start to realize, you know what? Those other things don't matter. What matters is that I please God, because look what he does. And that is the cycle that God wants us to be moving into. But you cannot get it without God's word. You can't get it from me listening to a sermon. You can't get it listening to the radio in your car. You can't get it from your small group. You can't get it from anybody, because your personal relationship with God is personal. And the words that God wants you to have to actually build faith between you and God, not respect for someone else who's got wisdom, can only come when God speaks in your heart. And faith is not blind. And you can't develop faith blindly. You can't develop faith in God if you can't hear him. You can't develop faith in God if you don't really know what he says. And if you have faith in God, you will pursue knowing what he is saying and what he wants for you. And so really, as we look at the point of this sermon, it is this. No one controls my relationship with God except for me. If I let all those other voices drag me away and I decide that my conversation is going to be with other people or with other thoughts that they've put in my head, or maybe even what the devil says. I was talking with somebody this week in the hospital. Really difficult circumstances had come. And they talked about how they sat down, knowing that their loved one is in a difficult situation, and all of a sudden they were just overwhelmed with fear. And they started thinking about all the things that could go wrong and what would happen if something went wrong, and maybe this person even passed away, and how they could make it and what would happen and all of these things. And they realized that it was a spiritual battle. Sometimes it's just in our heads, but how many of you know that Satan can put fear on us? And the spirit of fear doesn't come from God. The Bible's real clear where that comes from. Sometimes we battle with Satan giving us and encouraging us to think in ways that we know will separate us from God, because it brings up in our hearts fear. But when we clearly hear God's word, it only brings up in our heart love, thankfulness, and worship. We fall before a God that could love us like that. So let's pray. Father, no one can meet the hearts of our need but you. You have created us, your word says, with eternity in our hearts. And no one can touch those eternal things. No one can have that relationship that is spiritual with us except for you. No voice can take the place of the Holy Spirit in our heart. No one can speak to our hearts with the power that your voice does. It feels great to hear someone we care about say, "We love you and we'll take care of you." But no one can really love us or take care of us except for you. You are the all-powerful God. You are the one our hearts ache and feel empty if we do not know. And so, Father, right now I ask you to just open our eyes to clearly see who you are. To see your greatness and your glory. To see the magnificence of your unfailing love demonstrated through Jesus Christ, who leads us to you as we see your heart in his life here on earth. We ask you to take that power that raised him from the dead that we cannot understand how it could possibly be, and we ask you to change our hearts and lives completely. We don't want to be just people who walk this earth for a short time and are gone and there was no meaning. We want to know you. So we ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of all the things we have chased after and ignored you or pushed you behind us. And we ask you to give us your love through the Holy Spirit to change our hearts, to draw us close to you. We thank you, Lord, that you've paid for all this, all of our sins through Christ. We ask for your forgiveness, and we ask for the power of your Holy Spirit to save our souls. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.